This is a Collider.com audio interview.
There's like
an
Obama theme going on today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Alex Ross. He's just fucking good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sam, you know I love you, and I have to tell you that I've
whoa,
named
whoa,
it.
Whoa, what? No proposals.
No proposals, but I've named my cat after you.
Okay,
she
cool.
She's Samantha L. Jackson. And you'd be proud. She's a badass motherfucker.
I like that.
So, was Lewis an especially fun character to play? Just being up on stage and, you know, really getting to perform in front of different crowds. Did you get to model them after any of your favorite singers?
What are you hiding your phone? I like the little purple cover. I'm looking at the cover.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I don't want it to go on.
Yeah, I love Lewis. It's amazing to be able to get into a performance mode and do a character that, you know, is that kind of rich and sort of been around. And the kind of relationship these guys have from, you know, being kids together and knowing each other so very well for that long, it's a kind of wonderful thing to put together and play. You know, and being able to sing and dance in live situations with, you know, extras that never seen us do it before was kind of like us having our own place and having a captive audience. So we had a good time doing that too.
Were there any singers that you modeled them after that you were a big fan of? Or?
No.
Did you take to the dancing like right away? Was that something that you were ready and excited about, or were you? Did you go in there with a little hesitation, trying to figure out how to do the moves?
No, I was cool with it. I did, you know, musicals in college and in theater in New York, so singing and dances is kind of okay. Plus, you know, most guys at some point in their lives fancy ourselves as one of the Temptations or one of the Pips. So we stand in the mirror and sing and do that kind of stuff.
What
so
musicals did cool you do in college?
Dr. B.S. Black, Pearly, Three Penny Opera, lots of stuff.
Yeah. We heard Bernie did an impression of you. Was he pretty right on?
I don't know. I never saw it.
He didn't do it in front of you?
Not to my knowledge. Yeah, I wouldn't recognize it, no.
I was also wondering if Possum Face Motherfucker was an improv he came up with.
Yeah, along with Boy Pussy. See, I kind of was like, what? I don't like Boy Pussy. What? What? It just killed us.
So much
like,
improv.
They're going to keep that? I guess this movie's not PG.
With so much improv coming from him, and everybody that's been through here so far has said that you tend to stick pretty close to what, you know, what is on the page. So is that part of the fun, sticking to the page when you're getting improv thrown at you and trying to keep it in a certain direction? Or but how do you feel when people are just throwing new stuff at you every second?
Well, as long as I know it's going to happen, and it's going to happen in a structured way, even if it's improv. I mean, I know Bernie goes off the page, and I know that we have to get through a specific section. We have to give certain amounts of information to an audience. So if during rehearsal I can say to Bernie, okay, when you get through doing that, just let me know you're done so I can say this line. You know, wink at me, do something, let me know I can do this line, because we got to get this amount of information. We got to let him know that we're going to do this, and we're going to go here, and we're going to go there. And he could do that, and then Malcolm, in his inimitable way, a lot of times just didn't say cut, and then I just knew to shut up and let Bernie do what Bernie was going to do. And, you know, they finally get enough of it and laugh enough and say cut.
There was a part where you bark when the dog, when they open, and Barney looks like he is getting ready to laugh, like
yeah, because he'd never seen it. Yeah, he didn't
know. Was that in the script?
No, he had no idea I was going to do that, but I was at that point where it was like, okay, Barney's being funny, I got to do something funny.
Very funny.
Thank you.
Did you have a favorite moment behind the scenes with Bernie? Something that you'll always kind of remember and carry with you?
No. I mean, we know each other, and we've known each other for a very long time. I mean, I've known Bernie like 15 years or so, and we talk and we hung out, and, you know, so seeing him every day was just part of the, you know, blessing of being able to do this film, finally finding something that worked for us, because people have been trying it for a long time. So, no, nothing special. You know, I'm just glad he made it every day. You know, he's kind of looking, Bernie here? So, okay, great.
Well, it's like working with Isaac Hayes.
Cool. You know, Bernie and I both knew Isaac in another kind of way. You know, I've like flown halfway around the world with Isaac and just hung out with him, talked to him. But being able to do the music of Stax in one way is like sort of very cool. And then to have Isaac there as like a real representative of, you know, the probably most successful act that was ever on that label. And then being able to do an Isaac Hayes song in the middle of that film while he's sitting there watching us do it. You know, a little daunting for a minute, but then you look at him and see him, he's going... So we're killing it. It's good.
Was that your favorite number to shoot, or was did you have another particular favorite?
My favorite was Boogie Ain't Nothing, the Country Western Bar.
Yeah, I
love that. Because I don't get to line dance that much unless I'm at a wedding, you know. Somebody will play the electric slide or that cha-cha boogie thing. So I don't get to line dance that often.
I'm curious, you shot in Memphis. Did you have like a favorite place that if you could go back today, there's one place you'd go to?
In Memphis?
Yeah. For the food or whatever.
Oh, I can't remember her name. Oh, no, trying to remember. Well, I play golf all over Memphis, so there's lots of great golf courses that I play there. But there's a fried chicken place that was right around the corner from where I used to live. It always tasted like they fried the chicken in hot sauce.
Oh God,
awesome!
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was awesome. And they gave you the chicken in a little brown bag, and the bag would just be so greasy. It was like yes.
What about shooting the montage? Because the montage is so fantastic. Was there an era that you were like, oh, I can't wait to get to the '70s. I can't wait to get into the '90s. Was there something that you were looking forward to?
No, we just kind of put on the stuff. You know, the pompadours are kind of funny because that's like a specific era when you know you remember. Remember seeing groups like that, and then the Earth, Wind, and Fire kind of mode. We were up there. We were actually singing "Shining Star," and John didn't know the words. We were kind of shy. Said, "Everybody knows Shining Star." No.
If you were going to go on tour tomorrow, who would you want to go with? Like, if you could take either two actors or two musicians and just like go on tour and start your own band, who would you want it to be with?
Wow. Probably Carlos Santana and Bootsy Collins.
And what would the name of the band be?
I have no idea.
It's something badass, motherfuckers. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I guess it could be. Yeah. Just, motherfucker. That's it.
Bernie, with
the A-H.
Bernie's performance is so good in this movie. It's such what you want to see him doing in his chemistry with you. Did he know how good he was in this film? Do you think he had a sense of how good he was going to come off?
Probably, yeah. And aside from the fact that, you know, I told him every day, we talked about it every day. You know, the really sad thing, you know, the saddest thing for me, it's interesting too, because when I heard he was dead, when Star Jones actually called us, I was in New York, and said that Bernie had passed. The first thing I thought was, damn, Bernie ain't gonna get to see a movie. But if you had to pick a vehicle and say, you know, this is the last movie you'll ever get to do, and an audience watches this film, it'll be, you know, the Bernie Mac that they knew and loved that came into their homes every week. He'll be the guy that was the king of comedy and made them kind of pee on themselves when he was doing his act. And they'll discover he can sing and dance and do all this other stuff and have this dramatic arc that he's responsible for that kind of runs through the movie. It's sort of a fitting last performance for somebody to remember him by, because they're all the elements of the Bernie that people knew and loved in this film.
As we reminisce about him today, it sounds like you're not too nostalgic about it. Is that sort of the way Bernie would rather be remembered?
He would have found a way to make a joke about it. You know, if I wasn't here doing this thing, he would have had something funny to say about it. He would have been poignant, and then he would have been funny. Like, you know, right, because like, you know, he died one day, and then the next day Isaac died, and you know, somebody said to me, do we need to get you to a safe house?
It seems like one of the really cool things about the movie is that you guys have like such a swagger and class, like both you and Bernie. Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't see that as much with the young actors. It's interesting to see that, you know, that you guys, you've grown up with it, and it's still funny and still feels so fresh, and you guys are still cool, really.
Well, we were kind of grown when it happened for us. So the level of hard work that we know we put in and the payoff for it kind of gives you a reason to feel like, you know, I earned it and I deserved it and you can stand up a little straighter. And those two characters also, I mean, you look at those two guys, these guys that, you know, Bernie and I kind of recognize and know in a very real kind of way. They're guys of a certain age, but they grew up together. They were kids together. And they know a lot about each other. And when you look at the hierarchy of like groups and how, you know, the group dynamic, when it was Marcus Hooks and the Real Deal, Marcus was the cute guy who was out front could sing, and the girls dug him, so he got to pick the girls first. And I was the guy who could really dance, and girls like guys who could dance, so I got to pick girls second. Floyd was the guy who thought he should have been Marcus, because he ain't no better than I am. Why is he the leader? I should be the leader. So he got to pick last, because he was always grumpy. But they know things about each other. And Lewis was the guy who always defended the group. Floyd was the guy who talked a lot of shit and got everybody in trouble, and I was the guy who had to fight. Marcus, we just kept him out of the way because he was cute. In a group dynamic, when people break up, they break up for reasons. Most times it's money, because we still see that. Guys are still fighting about money, but they go back on tour so they can make money. But these guys fell out about a girl. And happens to be a girl they both fell in love with and loved separately and together. And, you know, there's this questionable paternity thing going on in there, too. So once they get past the fact that, okay, she was in love with both of us, we both had this love for her, but she's gone, they got to figure out, you know, why they're still together and what it was that brought them back together. And Floyd's desire to be famous again kind of gets infectious in a way to Lewis. Lewis starts out wanting the money, but once they start performing again, you know, you kind of get that, yeah, maybe we can get there and get that last kind of thing. You know, everybody wants that last, some closure on their career. So, you know, it's an interesting sort of dynamic between the two guys.
Lewis is obviously a badass, and you're known probably the best badass in Hollywood. Is there internal badass style that you have when you approach a character that you just think, like, where is this,
no,
turning this to?
No, not at all. I just know that, like I said, the group dynamic lends itself to this thing when they grew up that Lewis was the guy who was the kind of hard ass in the group. He was the hardest drinker, the hardest drugger, and when something went wrong, Lewis was the guy who either went there and physically did something about it or raised the most hell about it. Floyd talked a lot of shit, but he didn't do shit. And then when he goes to prison, you know, there's a certain thing that, you know, sets you up. You've been in prison 30 years for robbing banks. It kind of sets you up in another kind of way to come back out in the world. But he found himself in another kind of way. That's why he reads more now, and he's got this little phony prophet of his, Lao Tzu. but there's this thing in him that he learned in prison. He's a singular individual that has a straight line, but there are lines that he has that you don't cross.
But do you do badass that well because you're just badass yourself, or are you drawn to those characters?
I just figure out a way to make the character like that. You know, mm-hmm. I've never been a badass.
Of all the characters you've played in your career, which ones do you think might make a good Halloween costume?
Well, definitely the octopus, but you haven't seen the spirit yet. And he's a costume wonder. Well, I've seen people as Jules, you know, with the blood and brains in their hair and the Jericho afro.
Nice touch.
Yeah, it always works.
You'll probably see a lot of Nick Fury's in the future.
Oh, well, see, I hadn't even thought about that. Because in my mind, I haven't actually played Nick Fury yet. You know, I kind of showed up as Nick Fury. It's interesting because I saw Favreau last night and he was saying, well,
things getting rolling?
Yeah.
Do you see Nick Fury being his own movie eventually, maybe? Is that something you'd like to do?
I would love that, yeah, but he got to be part of Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, and then the Avengers will probably happen, you know, at some point later.
David Hasselhoff really pissed at you for taking over the role of Nick Fury.
I saw him the other week, he didn't seem to be.
How much fun is the spirit going to be?
Hopefully a lot for people. I've seen it. I loved it. It's got its own kind of space. It's not, you know, a lot of people think it's going to look like Sin City, but it's not. It looks totally different. And it's a real live-action cartoon, because we get to do some kind of outrageous stuff to each other and nothing happens.
And how badass is the octopus?
Ask questions.
Pretty crazy.
Having been friends with Bernie Mac over the years, did you see his health kind of go up and down, or how was his health over the years?
You know, I guess it was up and down. Everybody knew Bernie had been sick, and had been in and out of hospital, but, you know, he's also the kind of guy, you know, or a performer that no matter what, you know, Bernie's one of those show must go on kind of guys. So by the time we got ready to do the film, he was physically able to do the things we needed to do in the film, and, you know, there were days when he was a bit more robust than others, but, you know, he always showed up and did his job.
Is the Afro Samurai live action start retelling the story, or is it continuing where?
Oh, I don't know yet. They haven't turned in a script. They won't turn in that script.
And was the meeting with Favreau specifically for it?
No, accident. I was hanging out with George Lucas at the Spring Awards.
Love that bracelet.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How are you rolling with